Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Katie Weaver, Jill Robbins, Bruce Alpert, and Mario Ritter. Later, John Russell and Alice Bryant will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
China is warning about the possible effects of a trade war with the United States. The warning comes as the world's two biggest economies take steps to improve relations under the presidency of Donald Trump. Chinese Premier Li Keqiang spoke to news reporters earlier this week in Beijing. He talked about reasons for the two countries to have good relations. He said he was optimistic about ties, but warned that a trade war would hurt American businesses. "We do not want to see any trade war breaking out between the two countries," Li said. "That would not make our trade fairer and would harm both sides. Our hope on the Chinese side is that no matter what bumps the Chinese-U.S. relationship hits, we hope it will continue to move forward in a positive direction." Recently, Chinese state media have been publishing many stories in support of Li's position on trade. Some have noted that Trump's businesses would grow as a result of better economic relations with China. One opinion piece noted the many business interests the Trump Organization has in China. The comments were published in the Communist Party-supported Global Times newspaper. The comments noted the Chinese government's preliminary approval of more than 30 Trump trademarks. Observers were surprised at the approval of so many trademark requests at one time. The requests involved businesses such as golf clubs, hotels, and restaurants. The Global Times report agreed with Li that American businesses would suffer if there was a trade war. It said Trump's position as U.S. president would not protect his businesses from a trade war with China. It said his businesses would be harmed just as any other American company would be if relations worsened. The report said Trump's political skills will be tested by how he works to keep his promise to put America first while keeping good relations with China. During the 2016 election campaign, and since he took office, Trump has strongly criticized China. This has worried Chinese officials. Trump has talked about many issues, including trade, China's activities in the South China Sea, and China's relations with North Korea. But China is most worried about his threats to name it as a currency manipulator and to require large taxes on Chinese exports to the United States. He has not taken those actions yet. But in April, the U.S. Treasury Department will release a report on currency actions. This all worries Chinese officials, even though the two nations are opening contacts with one another. There were reports this week that Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping could meet in early April. On Saturday, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson will make his first trip to Beijing. This week, Acting Assistant Secretary of State Susan Thornton told CNBC Television that Tillerson would talk about fair trade. While we have a very important economic relationship with China, it hasn't been a level playing field vis-a-vis U.S. companies and U.S. interests, Thornton said. We are going to be insisting that there be fair trade measures that be put in place and that be observed and implemented. Last year, the U.S. trade deficit with China was $347 billion. That was only a little less than the trade deficit in 2015. Li told reporters that China would continue to open up its economy. He said American companies and others were already benefiting. We may have different statistical methods, but I believe whatever differences we may have, we can always sit down and talk to each other and work together to reach consensus, Li said. He said trade and investment between the two countries created more than 1 million jobs in the United States last year. I'm Katie Weaver.
President Donald Trump Thursday offered his first budget, calling for big increases on military spending and large cuts in foreign aid and other domestic programs. In his budget message, Trump said the spending proposal carries out his campaign promise to protect the American people. A budget that puts America first must make the safety of our people its number one priority, because without safety, there can be no prosperity, Trump said. But the president needs congressional approval to make the major spending changes he is proposing, and Congress is certain to make changes. It is clear that this budget proposed today cannot pass the Senate, said Senator John McCain, a Republican from Arizona. A number of leading Republicans, including McCain, came out against big cuts in foreign aid and diplomatic programs, even before Trump released his spending proposals on Thursday.
Many budget proposals by American presidents are declared dead on arrival. Norman Ornstein, congressional expert for the American Enterprise Institute, said that will be the case with Trump's budget proposal, even with Republican majorities in both houses of Congress. But Jennifer Nicole Victor, a political scientist at George Mason University in Virginia, expects Trump to get a good part of his spending proposals approved. The likely prospect of some obstruction in the Senate, especially, will probably force some compromises, but I would expect them to be on the small side, Victor said. Trump is proposing big changes in America's government. The president wants to add $54 billion in defense spending, a 10% increase, and another $2.8 billion to the Department of Homeland Security. The Homeland Security increases will go largely to add more Border Patrol agents and to build a wall along the U.S. southern border with Mexico.
Those spending increases are offset by cuts of $11 billion from the State Department, $15 billion from Health and Human Services, and $2.5 billion from the Environmental Protection Agency. The proposed budget cuts affect aid to foreign countries, funding for the United Nations and World Bank, medical research, housing for the poor, and money to the arts. Federal employee unions warned the budget would force the firing of many federal workers. Some said it would be the largest cut in the American federal workforce since World War II. Trump would end federal funding for 62 agencies and programs, including the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and AmeriCorps. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting helps fund programs such as the popular children's show Sesame Street. AmeriCorps sends volunteers to work on programs that help low-income Americans.
Trump's budget director, Mick Mulvaney, said the president is putting his campaign proposals into budget numbers. The president very clearly wants to send a message to our allies and our potential adversaries that this is a strong power administration, said Mulvaney. So you have seen money move from soft power programs such as foreign aid, into more hard power programs. By strong power, Mulvaney meant mostly military and law enforcement. By soft power, he meant programs such as diplomacy and foreign aid. Mulvaney said the administration is willing to work with Congress on changes to the president's budget. But he said the budget provides enough funding for agencies such as the State Department and Environmental Protection Agency to carry out its most important responsibilities.
But critics said the cuts go too far. Environmental groups said that the cuts to the EPA mean the agency will not have enough employees to protect Americans from air and water pollution, or carry out the 2016 Paris Climate Change Agreement. Money talks, and Trump's budget proposal screams that the only thing that matters in his America is corporate polluters' profits and Wall Street billionaires, said Michael Brune, executive director of the Sierra Club, an environmental group.
House Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, a Republican, said he welcomes Trump's proposals to turn the page from the last 8 years of the Obama administration. But Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer of New York said Trump's budget would help the wealthy while cutting programs that help the middle class and those struggling to get there. I'm Bruce Alpert.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
A valuable musical instrument was played recently in its first public performance since being rediscovered in 2015. The instrument, a Stradivarius violin, had been stolen and was missing for 35 years. The violin has a long history. It was made in the 18th century. Later, the instrument belonged to Roman Totenberg, a Polish-born virtuoso violinist. He died before the violin was rediscovered. Now the violin belongs to one of his daughters, and its sound is again being heard. This week, one of Totenberg's former students, Mira Wong, played the instrument for the first time since its rediscovery. She spoke about her teacher, the violin's former owner.
I think Roman was one of the most important men I have met as a teacher, and also he was almost like a mentor to me. And I came from China, I didn't know anybody, and he took me really in as a student and into his family.
Totenberg's three daughters all agreed that Mira Wong should perform with the Stradivarius. Amy Totenberg says the former student was close to her father.
She was my father's protege. He certainly had many beloved students, but she was so close, and to all of us, to him.
Antonio Stradivari made the instrument in 1734. Roman Totenberg played the violin for almost 40 years. He performed on many famous concert stages around the world. Totenberg died in 2012 at the age of 101. The Stradivarius was taken from his dressing room after a show. Daughter Nina Totenberg remembers what happened.
He was greeting well-wishers afterwards, and when he turned around to go back and get the violin, it was gone. And they found the case thrown down the stairs in the place where the concert had been, and they called the police and the FBI came.
The disappearance of the violin remained a mystery for 35 years. Then, the former wife of the man who stole the instrument tried to sell it to a violin specialist who identified it. The former husband had once been a student of Totenberg. In 2015, the Stradivarius was returned to Totenberg's three daughters. They had it restored to playing condition. Wong said it was an honor to be the first to play the violin again.
It means a great deal to me that I can use the violin to be the first one who would bring it to the public. There's joy, there's a lot of sorrow for that he could never see this or hear this, and I wish he was with us.
The Totenberg sisters say they will sell the violin to a performer or a group. They want the instrument to again be heard by listeners around the world. Rare instruments also are musical treasures. In 2011, a Stradivarius violin sold for more than $15 million. I'm Mario Ritter.
Imagine you hear a group of American teenagers talking. One teenager has received a gift, and his friends are a little jealous.
Where did you get that new video game?
Yeah, it's expensive. It costs like $30 or something.
My mom got it for me.
You're lucky. She's always buying you games and stuff like that.
In today's report, we are going to learn about video games. Just joking. In fact, we are going to teach you how Americans use certain phrases to show that they are uncertain. Sometimes they use these phrases to shorten their sentences, too. These phrases are sometimes called coordination tags.
In conversation, Americans often use imprecise nouns. Imprecise nouns are nouns that do not represent an exact person or object. Sometimes Americans use these imprecise nouns in phrases. Americans use them to show that they have not identified exactly the noun they are thinking of. Rather than listing a long series of nouns, speakers will often use one noun and then use a coordination tag to show that there are other possible nouns they could have said. So, what do these coordination tags look like?
Susan Conrad and Douglas Biber are English grammar experts. They write that there are three common coordination tags in conversation. These include, or something like that, and things like that, as well as, and stuff like that. The words like that can be optional. Sometimes speakers will say them, sometimes they will not.
The first common coordination tag is the phrase, or something like that. Speakers generally use this phrase when the earlier noun is not exactly what the speaker meant, say Conrad and Biber. Here's an example. Imagine you are listening to strange electronic music. A friend might tell you this.
It sounds like a science fiction movie, or something like that.
The speaker uses the coordination tag because he thinks that the noun, science fiction movie, is not quite the right noun for the situation. The speaker is able to make a statement while expressing some uncertainty about that statement.
The second common coordination tag is the phrase, and things like that. Americans generally use this when there are unstated nouns that could be added to the earlier noun. Sometimes speakers will use this to move through a sentence quickly to avoid listing all of the exact nouns. Consider this example. Imagine you are at a college and a student is telling you about all of the majors at the School of Fine Arts.
We have a Master of Arts in Painting and things like that.
Why did the speaker say, and things like that? She used it mainly to shorten the length of her sentence without limiting its meaning too severely. Perhaps she felt that listing every degree at the school would bore the person listening to her. Or perhaps she does not care very much about all of the majors at the school. Regardless of the speaker's opinion, the basic point is this, and things like that is a way to express that there is a long list of exact nouns.
The third common coordination tag is the phrase, "and stuff like that." As with things like that, Americans use this when there are some unstated nouns. Sometimes speakers will use "and stuff like that" to refer to nouns that are objects. For example, you might hear an American say, "The restaurant has hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff like that." Here, the speaker is suggesting that the restaurant has common American foods, hamburgers and hot dogs, most notably. You will notice that the construction "and stuff like that" has an almost identical meaning to "and things like that." They both mean that there are unstated nouns that should be added to the earlier noun. In conversation, the phrases "things like that" and "stuff like that" are basically the same.
Now, let's think back to the conversation from the beginning of the story.
Where did you get that new video game?
Yeah, it's expensive. It costs like $30 or something.
My mom got it for me.
You're lucky. She's always buying you games and stuff like that.
You will notice the two examples of coordination tags have slightly different meanings. The first example, or something, shows that the speaker does not know the exact price of the video game. The speaker is able to express some amount of uncertainty while making a statement. The second example, "and stuff like that," shows a different meaning. The game was one of a series of gifts that the lucky teenager has received.
The coordination tags we have explored today are not only useful in everyday conversation. They can be useful in written communication, such as emails or text messages to friends, too. We do not advise using these structures in formal speaking or writing. In general, formal situations call for more exact language. While you might say, "We have a master of arts in painting and stuff like that," to a friend who visits your college, you should not say it in a speech to officials at your college. In that setting, it would be better to say, "We have a master of arts in painting and many other degrees," or, "We have a master of arts in painting, drawing, and filmmaking," for example. The next time you are watching an American film or television show, try to listen for when the speakers use coordination tags like the ones you heard in today's report. Try to listen for other coordination tags and ask yourself what they might mean. In future Everyday Grammar programs, we will explore parts of speech and other stuff like that. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.